for the classic Haskin and Shulman Breeders' Cup visit. Lenny, how you feeling? You all right?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Yeah, it's been a strange 36 hours, but everything is good this morning. Thank you.
Between the two of you, it's been a strange week.
Yeah.
I can't do that math, Steve, so I just went with 36.
Steve's like Frank Sinatra here. It's like bringing Martin Lewis back here.
Well, I don't know, Steve. I don't know how much you talked about, winning the award last night or not. But even though this the Turf Writers dinner didn't go how either of us would have hoped it would have last night, I just want to tell you how thrilled I am for you and how deserving you are to win that Jim McKay Award. I know we do a lot of kidding around here on the show, but it is so well deserved for you to have won that award. And if I had been allowed to make my speech yesterday, I was going to refer to you as the James Brown of the business, because you are the hardest working man in the horse business. And I just want to tell you how thrilled I am for you.
Well, it's awfully kind, Lenny, and you know, the same, of course, is true for you. I actually heard Frank Angst, heard his introduction, and it was so there was a lot about what he said that was really nicely framed and elucidated in terms of you having lived in New York, Kentucky, and California, and you know, the troika of the top racing in the game, and how wherever you go, everybody knows Lenny, and is happy to see you. And it was funny that you and I were supposed to end up of all things for us to both be recognized by our colleagues the same year, and then we have these two sort of health crises scenarios. But I appreciate the thought, and of course feel the same way for you. And we turn to Steve Askin, who
I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't have to say it, but I will say how absolutely thrilled I am for both of you. I am so happy for both of you. Both so well deserving, and it's great that it's great that you both won it in the same year. It's very, very appropriate. But there's something about that that Turf Riders dinner. I mean, when I went to get my Walter Haight Award, my wife flew all the way to Texas, to Dallas, to be there. And right before I got up to get my award, she got sick. So I'm up there giving my speech, and she's in the bathroom. So she flew all that way to be in the bathroom. And I'm looking around, and I'm trying to look around to everybody sitting there, to give him my speech, and all I could see is that empty chair right in front of me. I said, where is she? I'm wasting this great speech. The person who I wanted to hear it is in the bathroom. I was waiting for her to make an entrance or something. She never did.
So
something about that Turf Riders.
Never get the salmon. That's the moral of that story.
That's a good. That's a good point, Lenny. I hope somebody made use of the meals that we had to pick.
I got a report, and apparently the only folks who ended up at our table was Hammer, who introduced and accepted for you, and Rhoda Ferraro, who was going to accept for me before they were able to patch me in, via the phone. So we had a rather sparsely attended table, from what I understand.
Well, we feel bad.
The thing is, when I got my mother, you know who introduced me? Wayne Lucas introduced me, and never said a word about me. It was like 15 minutes of Henny Youngman. Of like one line is that he had been rehearsing, and that the only reference to me was that I was the brunt of the jokes. It was like, well, when Steve gets up in the morning, his bed is this, and then Joan does that. I mean, it was like one joke after another, He never said a word about me.
Yeah, my original introductor last night was going to be Paul Redham, and Frank's speech was a lot different from Paul's, who was going to talk about how much pot I smoked. So there definitely was a different tenor to the proceedings there.
Wow. It like we said, it didn't come off exactly as planned, but we're both still upright for now, and a real privilege. Let's, Steve, you and Lenny discuss this Breeders' Cup and what you're looking for, what you're looking forward to, and we can pretend we were in Hammer's office kicking it around.
Well, I'm going to bow to the award winner this year. He gets first preference here.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the winning hockey name theme. Juvenile turf McKinnon, who looks so good at Santa Anita in his last race. There's a history of hockey theme names doing well at the Breeders' Cup, going back to Tikkanen, continuing with Nyquist. And not only do we have a horse named for a hockey player this time, but we have him being named by a hockey player since he's owned by Eric Johnson. So I look for McKinnon to run big in the juvenile turf tomorrow. And I'll just do one more before I turn back over to see. The Classic is a great race. It looks like a great betting race. I think you can throw a blanket over four or five of them in there, like Mixco and Medina Spirit. But I've been an Essential Quality guy since early last year. I thought he was the best two-year-old from early on last year. I thought he was the best three-year-old this year. I think I've been vindicated in that. And what I love about this horse, you know, he's just one of those horses. He reminds me of AT Indy because he's never a horse that's going to beat you by six lengths. You know, he's a horse that loves a battle. He's obviously talented. And he beats you by a half length. And I take that to mean that he's a smart horse, you know, who does what he needs to do, just like AT Indy, and doesn't want to do any more than that. And I love three-year-olds this time of year in the Breeders' Cup, so I'm going to go with Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie in that race. Two best three-year-olds out there, I think. All due respect to Medina Spirit.
Well, I think the race sets up for both of them if it plays out the way you would think it would. Essential Quality is an amazing horse. He's a real throwback. I have mixed feelings about him. I mean, I want him to win. I'm rooting for him. But I know if he wins, then I'm going to feel bad because they're retiring at the end of the year, which I can't understand that when I heard that. There was so much for him to do next year. He'd be a fantastic four-year-old. But just looking at this race, if the race plays out the way it looks on paper, with Nick's going out there, which he always wants to do, and if we say, well, I don't know if Medina Spirit, I don't know if he's fast enough. I don't think it matters if Medina Spirit is fast enough to run with Nick's Go. It's Nick's Go versus Bob Baffert more than Medina Spirit, because I've never known a Baffert horse not get the lead when he wants them in front. So you know he's going to send them. And you know, I keep watching horses, you know, the last few years, like Authentic and Medina Spirit. And when they get on a lead, nobody challenges them. But it's not going to happen this year with Nick's Go. But the question mark is whether Nick's Go wants to go a mile and a quarter. And other than the Whitney, I'm not sure who he's beaten. You know, Jesus's team, and you know, when the Cornhusker didn't beat too much. So it's hard to tell because we don't know what this horse is going to do if somebody looks him in the eye. And if they go out there and Art Collector's putting pressure on as well, it is set up for the 2-3-year-olds who really are in the best shape of their life, I think, right now. I think they're both peaking, and Hot Rod Charlie's back home. Essential Quality is working so much better than I've ever seen him work compared to the Triple Crown. His last work was sensational. I mean, that was an incredible work. it's a tough race to bet. I mean, it's a race I just really want to sit back and enjoy. If I'm looking for a horse to put in there, one of the older horses, I'm still going to give Tripoli a big shot because he was really wide in his last start. And Medina Spirit beats him by over three lengths, and he got a fast orthograph number. So that's how wide he went. That's how much ground he lost in that race. You know, he's 1.25 miles over the track. It's John, it's John Sadler and Hieronis, and that Hieronis stable is dynamite in California. Very tough to beat. So I can see him rebounding. I'm not going to say he's going to win the race, but I think he can certainly pick up a piece of it. But I think it's wide open. We don't know what Max Player is going to do. He's, coming off of big 1.25 mile victories. And I'm just going to enjoy this race. But, I mean, if I have to pick a horse, it would have to be Essential Quality. It's hard to pick against that horse. He's just a winner.
We're all on the same on the same page here. I'm picking him too, and I'm going back to Tripoli underneath Steve actually as well.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, for the same reason. I think he ran better than it looked.
He's on the outside. He was wide. He was wide the whole way. He lost all that ground on the first turn, and I thought he ran. Okay. All things considered. He's back to 1.8 miles. I think he's going to love going back to 1.25 miles now.
Yep.
And I like his thoroughbred numbers and his progression. When you get beat three lengths, you're not supposed to get a faster thoroughbred number in the winter.
All in agreement, and I got Hot Rod Charlie in the mix as well. And I defensively, I certainly respect what Nick Sko represents here. Just when you're the one to catch, as Tony will say, make them go where you've already been. So
I don't see any reason why he's not going to get the extra quarter mile. He just as he hasn't done it. Like I said, we don't know what's going to happen if another horse looks him in the eye early or hooks him in the middle of the race. He reminds me a lot of Authentic last year, except he's much faster than Authentic, and he's a much bigger, more powerful horse. But, he's a horse that when he goes to the lead, everybody's afraid to go after him because they know they're going to get killed too.
The one thing I think he does have going for him, going back to when Bobby would win the Pacific Classic every year with horses who were milers, like Mizzen Mast, and I remember talking to him about it, and he would always say that the Del Mar track is a trick track because 1.25 miles really plays less there than 1.25 miles in other places. Hmm. I don't know why that was, but Bobby certainly believed it, and he showed it because he kept winning that race with horses that weren't 1.25 mile horses. So I think that does make Nick Sko a little tougher than he would be maybe somewhere else.
Interesting.
I think it's also the track, by the way, where you want a horse with a good turn of foot as opposed to a grinder. And I know Central Quality and Hot Rod Charlie are both grinders, but they can sustain their run for such a long way, and they can both get into the race fast. So, but you realize, by the way, if Nick Sko wins this race, I mean, he's going to do something that nobody will ever done. I mean, here's a horse. He was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He wins the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, then wins the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, that's an amazing feat.
A good point. Let's shift away for a second. We got a couple of minutes, and pick a spot, any race that you're excited about, a horse, maybe at a price, and anywhere in the 2 days.
Well, I mean, that's what my column was about, just picking long shots. Looking at the juvenile, the first horse I have to look at is Command Performance, only because I've started a new feature called Derby Sleepers, and he was the first one I wrote about. I wrote an entire column about him coming off a second in a maiden race, and then he comes back and runs big in the Champagne. I'm not crazy about the price he's going to be, but if he's up around 7 or 8 to 1, I'll bet him, but I wouldn't run him here. And he drew post 10, which I'm not crazy about, but he's a big, long striding colt, so better there than the inside. But my long shot in that race is a horse that absolutely nobody's mentioning, and it's the kind of horse that you're going to forget about, and that's Papa Cap. Mm. And I just think, again, from the thoroughbred numbers, point to him again. Despite he got beat 3.25 lengths and got a faster thoroughbred number than the winner. And if you watch his races, the way he gallops out, I know a lot of people are interested in gallop outs, but you know, after the race, Oviatt Class, who was charging by him after the wire, and he comes back and sees him, goes after him, and goes right by him. But I like the way he's coming up to the race. He's bred for distance, and you know, Mark Cassie brought him out there early to get two races yep. over the track, and you know, which he did. Originally, yep. he wasn't going to do that. He was going to stay at Saratoga, but he decided to go out there. So I look for him. I tell you, if you're looking for a monster bomb, and again, I don't know about winning, but this horse, it could be like 50-1 in the mile, is Casa Creed. And it's going to be very tough beating the Europeans. I know that. But again, his Thoroughgraph numbers are really good. He's getting good right now. And he seems to be a horse that runs well coming off 6 furlongs. And he's coming off of a 107.4 6 furlong race, which he had a horrible trip at Kentucky Downs, and he loves a mile. And if the pace falls apart at all, I could see him picking up a piece of it at a monster price. And you know, in the turf, I'm looking at United. The horse has been on the board in 17 of his last 18 starts. He's already been beat. He was beaten by Bricks and Mortar in the turf 2 years ago. And his last few races, he's been coming from far out of it. He can run anywhere. It doesn't matter where he is on the course. And Dick Mandela is always tough at home. So I think he's going to be a forgotten horse. He worked a mile in 137.1 last week, you know, which is old school. But there's a lot of ways to go in that race. If you're looking for a European long shot, you know, Sisfahan, the German invader. I loved his races when he ran in Germany. He was beaten a length by the eventual ARC winner, who won the ARC at 80-1. Aiden O'Brien's horse Broom, I think, is sitting on a big race. So, I mean, there's some big prices in there. Two of my strongest long shots, I obviously have two of them in the distaff. I love Clarier. Her last workout, she worked with Max Player. He was under the whip in the stretch, and she was galloping along, and he wouldn't buy her. He couldn't even go by her on the gallop out when they were trying to get him to go by her. She's another filly that's really improved right now. I mean, she had run a pair of 1 3/4 Thoroughgraph numbers last year, and she's really just gotten better and better. And the other filly, I think, at a price is going to be Dunbar Road, who's also improving. I think she's getting good right now. So, yeah, everybody's looking at Latruska, but there's some interesting horses there. Royal Flag, actually, is the fastest horse in the race.
I like Royal Flag.
She's peaking right now. She ran a negative number, negative 1.5. That's 2.5 points higher than Latruska's ever run. And her race in the Beldame was sensational. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go here. This is one of those races. If you want to bet like a 5-horse trifecta box or so and put some of these long shots in there. But Latruska on the numbers is not that far ahead of her. And the last one I'll mention is CZ Rocket in the sprint. CZ Rocket, to me, is coming into this race. Reminds me a lot of Whitmore last year. You know, he got an old gelding who looks like he's fired his best shot. He's lost his fastball. And the race sets up for him. I'm not saying he's going to beat Jackie's Warrior. But I'm just saying, if there's a lot of pace in there, if. But he's the kind of horse that, again, he reminds me of Whitmore. He's beaten Whitmore twice this year. I know he's lost his last four. One was at 7 furlongs, one was at a mile. And he's a 6 furlong horse. He's a house horse. And Peter Miller, look what he's done with these old horses. He won the sprint back-to-back years with Roy H. at age 5 and 6. He won with Stormy Liberal in the third sprint back-to-back. At ages 5 or 6. Now he's got a 7-year-old. And Peter Mill's kind of sneaky, especially when he's at home. So I can see CZ Rocket, rebounding and really flying in the stretch. But Jackie's Warrior gets clear, you know, nobody's going to beat him. But if you're looking for a horse to, you know, back him up.
I agree. CZ Rocket.
Don't forget about those old California horses, United and CZ Rocket.
Lenny, what about you? Who you like? A couple prices.
Yeah, I don't say she's going to be a price. Obviously, she's not. But I am going to pick against the horse who figures to be the lowest priced horse of the 2 days, and that's the filly and mare sprint. Steve, I know I saw you in the paddock right before the test stakes, and you asked me who I liked, and I said, I don't like anyone. I love Bella Sofia.
That's right.
And, you know, she's certainly done nothing to end that love affair that I've had with her. So she's drawn outside of Gamine. Gamine is a monster. But like I said before, I love three-year-olds this time of year. I think she has maintained her form. She's done well out in California. It's going to be one hell of a stretch drive if those two hook up the way I think they are. And I think Bella Sofia can beat her. So that's one I'm really looking forward to. And I think if they hook up too soon, then you may find Cece coming at a little bit more of a price. Although I do admit I have an emotional attachment to her because my 12-year-old Labrador is named Cece. So I'll put that out there. And just quickly, the other race I'm looking forward to is the Filly and Mare Turf. I mean, what a great race. 14 horses, 11 foreign-bred horses, and I'm just so anxious to see how Warlike Goddess shapes up against this international field, and just to see if her American form, which is just invincible over the last half year, holds up. That is a race that I can't wait to watch also.
You know, I think she'll be really tough in there. I mean, I really like Love in there. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, she sort of lost her form a little bit. Her last race, by the way, I mean, she was carrying 137 pounds. She was giving 11 pounds to the winner. It was beating a nose, and she's dropping 13 pounds in this race. I mean, she's been running against the top colts in Europe, and, you know, she was an absolute, monster before that. So, I mean, I think Love is sitting on a really big race. But that is a really good field. There's a lot of good fillies in there.
It's a fun group.
A lot of it. So that's one of the best races on the card, I think.
It's too bad there isn't a little bit more pace, you know, to give everybody and, you know, give all styles a chance. That's the one proviso going on in there. Well, guys, this was overdue, and I'm delighted to get you both on the line together. And Lenny, congratulations again. Steve,
well,
thanks for everything.
Let me congratulate both of you. Again, I can't tell you how happy I am. And, you know, I know you didn't receive your award, but once you get it, it doesn't matter. It'll be sitting up on your mantle. That's the important thing.
Well, it's an honor for me to join Steve Haskin on that list of Walter Haight winners. It's an impressive list, and it is such an honor. And again, I reiterate, Steve Bick, I hope you're feeling 100% as soon as possible, and what a great honor for you, and so well deserved for the work that you do day in and day out. And I know you have an audience that appreciates you, but you know, when you have a little bit of a health issue, one of the things that you need to do is make sure you appreciate everything you have, and so I'm appreciative of what I've received, and I'm really appreciative of what you do day in and day out. So congratulations.
Incredibly
kind. Have a nice long discussion with Bob Baffert pretty soon, you know, discuss your stints and everything. And
that's,
you know,
somebody
got a lot in common now.
So somebody else said that put them in the same. They've come out of the woodwork. Everybody that I've gotten some wonderful notes, but a lot of people saying, what they put you on? Did they put you on a statin? Did they put you on a beta blocker? It's like, holy cow! It's like a secret society.
Well, but the problem you had, Steve, is that they had to spend a couple of days finding your heart.
Hey now.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Whoa.
Lenny Shulman, everybody, and Steve Haskin together again, and they're off, reprised. One of the great internet finds. If you ever go to YouTube, you can pull up all the old and they're offs. It's a treasure trove. So, thanks so much. We've got to get to Nick Tamaro yet, and to Duke as well, and
I can listen to him for hours handicapping a race, by the way.
Nick, oh, listen, it's going to be...
No matter what he says, I said, you know what, he's right. He just sounds right no matter what he does.
Well, you used to say that about Brad, too, that you'd listen to Brad.
I was just going to say, him and Brad Free, those are the two guys. When they speak, I said, you know what, I'm wrong, you're right. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Years ago,
very authoritative in their opinions, and they just...
Years ago, you'd say, you'd call me after and say, I just listened to Brad go through the pick six. I want to put a ticket in. You were convinced he's definitely going to hit that pick six at Hollywood today. I can tell.
It's the same. I mean, him and Nick, they're both the same. Whatever they say, they're right. I mean, that's it.
Steve, Lenny, thank you so much. We got to get, got to clear the line so we can get. Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk soon, and we'll see Lenny and talk to Lenny soon too again. We got Nick Tamaro coming in. Nick's going to run through the five races tomorrow. Give you the plays that he's got lined up. Duke Matisse for some plays as well on the weekend, and then Nick Luck to close out the. Rather furious 3 hours here. Try him again, Case. He just texted me. I told him it was going to be 6 or 7 minutes. All right. It's much as even later than I thought. We're going to have to we'll put the spurs to this. Nick just texted me. And got voicemail. So, he's trying you again. So, all right. I'm talking as, the cell number, Case, which I'm sure he's trying. Yeah, with the phone system, Case's got, you can only have the two people on the line, so you have to clear out Steve and or Lenny to get one of them on. So give us a minute, and we'll get it should be quick, Case. With Nick, and then go right to Duke. About 10, 12 minutes with each of them. All right, that should suffice, I think, because Nick will be back tomorrow for the full Saturday treatment. You got him? No. Well. Now give me an answer, if you could. Because I think he's got. I think he's got a limit himself today, too. Right. Oh, okay, so he's got to call him on a different number. I won't say never as smooth as you'd like, but... it's tough when we're stacking them up here on short notice, or with short turnaround. Nick?
Yes. Good morning, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. We've got to fill in this last half hour quickly, and all we're doing today actually is looking at the five. Friday races, so we'll save the big conversation for tomorrow. Run us through your ideas for Friday.
Well, you know, actually, before, and this, I suppose you can call it bonus content, which I'm sure you need some of that, as if there hasn't been enough on the network. But in the second race tomorrow, there's a horse that doesn't really make sense on paper until you start to do the work. And the horse I'm talking about is the 7 Birth of Cool. And when I was looking at this race has a couple of horses that are AEs for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf.
Yeah.
I looked at Birth of Cool and I thought to myself, why is this horse in this race? And I watched the replay of his debut. This was a race where, unfortunately, there was a spill on the turn. The replay is edited so that you can't see what happens just outside the quarter pole. When the replay stops, you see him making a big move around the outside, and then when it starts again, he's rallying down the middle of the track to get into fourth, because obviously he was hindered dramatically by what happened. And the short comment in the chart is off slow, altered out, upper. Well, then Paddy Gallagher ran him in the Zuma Beach, presumably because he felt like he really didn't get a fair shot in his debut, and he had a mountain of trouble. He was stuck on the inside, didn't have any place to go in upper stretch, started to get free, ended up getting taken in hand again late, and Drayden Van Dyke just basically galloped him under the wire. This is a horse with the dirtiest set of PPs you're ever going to find. He might not be good enough to win, but he's going to be a relatively big price, and this is a horse who we know, I guess, who the good horses in here are. And, I mean, with all due respect to Ready to Perform, he got an enormous pace set up to beat a bad field last time. And Degree of Risk is probably the best horse in the race, getting blinkers now with Flavian Pratt coming off a good race in the summer. So if you're looking to play early, that's in race number 2. The early pick 5 is actually very good. And yeah. I thought that Superstition was a single in the Ken Matty. So, yeah, and that gets you, of course, into the Breeders' Cup races. And the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint is a race that we were talking yesterday about the pace scenarios, and I said that this is a race that 3 for 3 has been won in wire-to-wire fashion, and I think that's going to stop, mainly because I think there's just too much speed. And with Averly Jane having to deal with one-timer and run Curtis run out of the gate, it looks like it should be a really, really fast race. And so I landed on Derrynane, who I wouldn't have ever thought after her debut or even after the Bolton Landing I'd be picking in a race like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, but the trip up to Woodbine was really very, very impressive, and she won from just off the pace, rolling by them late. She figures to get a huge pace to run at, and I think she'll be the right kind of price. Of the European contingent, it doesn't seem as if any of them strike a tremendous amount of fear into me or their competition, but Armor looks like the best, probably the most suited to firm footing. And Ryan Moore has certainly knows how to ride any turf course, but he won this race actually before it was an official Breeders' Cup race in 2017 aboard an Aidan O'Brien horse who beat me out of a fortune, of course. But so he seemed pretty obvious to me. Twilight Gleaming, of course, was very good before going overseas. Ran two very good races at Ascot and Dovey, so I don't have a big opinion against her either. It just looked to me like a race where I might try and fool around with Derrynane in the multi-race plays and try and get lucky.
I'm right with you here. I ended up this morning, I put Twilight Gleaming on top with Armor and Derrynane. They're my top three, too. So I'm kind of in.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, one thing I said yesterday, and I will say it again, I don't know necessarily how much of a chance he has to win, but if you stack up Run Curtis Run's Futurity against one-timer Speakeasy, Run Curtis Run ran significantly better in the Futurity than one-timer did in the Speakeasy. So I don't know if Run Curtis Run can be effective from just off the pace, but this horse has a huge turf pedigree, moved up a ton on the turf, now gets an outside post and blinkers. I mean, he might get a really good trip from just off the pace. That's kind of Luis Saez's thing, too, is the, you know, kind of the outside stalking trip. So I think Run Curtis Run is a long shot that you could find your way into including. In the Juvenile Fillies, you know, I ultimately ended up picking Juju's Map. I'm going to treat it like the three-horse race that I think basically everyone is going to. I think Hidden Connection is probably going to be the second choice because it seems like she's gotten a really tremendous amount of publicity and support. And I think her Pocahontas holds up very well. She became the proverbial leader in the clubhouse when she won that race. And as the preps kind of shook out, you realize that nobody from the West Coast was really all that great, and Ain't Easy, of course, is not able to run. So she seems to make a lot of sense. I think the play here is to bet against Echo Zulu. So that's going to be my approach. I'm going to bank on that pedigree catching up to her at some point, being a half, of course, to Echo Town, that maybe she doesn't want to go this trip. And I actually don't like this jockey change, and I love Joel Rosario, but Santana, I don't care if he's lost 800 races in a row. He's one of the best pace riders in the country, and to take him off when he had done so well on her two times in a row, I don't think is the greatest of signs. The only stranger I could see making noise here is Tarabi. I wish she had another race, and I wish she had validated that good spinaway performance, but she ran very well that day and is a horse who really stands to benefit, I think, with extra ground.
Who do you want to use in the Juvie Philly Distaff double? Who's the Distaff players?
I would probably play this in kind of a 2-by-1 fashion, and I would use Hidden Connection and Juju's Map into Royal Flag. So just to try and create a little value there, and I think Royal Flag will be one of my better plays for Saturday.
I'm the same exact way, and in fact, I used Latruska as only a B in that setup. I went 2-5-6 with 2-9. I think that other Baffert, that as time goes by, 15-1, she's circling back to a good effort, and I'm very intrigued by her and Luis Saez, of all people, getting aboard. So I got 2-9 as my Distaff A's, which would both, I think, be very productive with Hidden Connection, Juju's Map, or even Echo Zulu, should she manage to stay on. Let's talk about the Juvenile Fillies turf, where after all kinds of hoop jumping, Nick, I'm looking for a Chad Brown Exacta.
You know, those have paid off well this fall.
Right?
There's actually been quite a few opportunities to hit them at a good price. I think everybody who hit the Rock Emperor Serve the King Exacta is probably going to find a way to send Chad a Christmas gift. But look, both of his horses are certainly in the realm. Consumer spending is probably a little bit better than she's getting credit for, and Haughty is probably not as good as she's getting credit for, if that makes sense. I think that because of the high-profile DQ, Haughty had a pretty robust reputation coming out of that performance. And look, she did what she was supposed to do. Last time she beat a moderate field in what ended up being a rather workmanlike but very, you know, clear and decisive win. I think that our domestic contingent is facing a pretty tough group of internationals, mainly because there's depth. And it's not so much where, like, I picked a European in both of these two races. And here I like Mise en Scene for James Ferguson, who ran fourth in the Phillies Mile. And, you know, over the years in this race, we've not seen a lot of horses come into this race from Group 1 competition. And one thing I would really take my hat off to the Breeders' Cup. They've done a tremendous job getting more horsemen to take chances in these races, and you're really seeing winners of some of these two-year-old staples running in these races. And so I thought Mise en Scene, who was 7-1 that day, had some pretty serious trouble about a half mile out, ended up getting stuck in traffic, got totally shuffled out, and then got back into position and started rallying again late, to end up basically in a photo for second. It was kind of a blanket photo behind the runaway winner. And if you try and if you stack up Mise en Scene's race against Cachet's, Cachet was really stopping in the last furlong. And looking at Cachet's PPs, it seems like she probably wants to go shorter, and it feels like Mise en Scene wants to go longer. You know, the big disadvantage is the post, right? I mean, it's not a great post position. She's going to have to work out a trip from out there. But the horses that are bet in here don't really do much for me. Pizza Bianca looks fine. I thought she had a pretty nice trip in the Talma until upper stretch when maybe she lost her position a tad, but she had a pretty clear run through. I'm a little unsure how the pace is going to shake out in here. I know we talked yesterday about it being at least pretty solid. I'm hoping that Bubble Rock and Turner Loose go and that you get some speed from both Sail By and Koala Princess. So it should be a pretty honestly run race. I think this is a super fun race. I could entertain 8 or 9 possibilities here, and I wouldn't have much of an argument against it. And I'm not going to bet her, but, you know, if somehow the trip works out for California Angel and she comes rolling down the middle of the track, whether I can cash or not, I'll root for her.
Yeah, exactly. Nick, real quick, the Juvenile and the Juvenile Turf.
The Juvenile, to me, is a race where I want to try Papa Cap at a big price. Jack Christopher is the horse to beat, undoubtedly. He's going to obviously have to be forwardly placed. I like the plan that Chad Brown laid out, that they're going to play it by ear, and look and see if anybody's hell-bent on the lead, and if so, then they'll take back a little bit. But Papa Cap was 3 to 4 wide the whole way on a surface that favored the inside last time out, so I'm looking for him to run a vastly improved race. And I mentioned yesterday that Modern Games is the biggest opinion for me on Friday. I thought he ran very well in the summer of the last time out, and in Charlie Appleby, I trust.
Who are we hooking up with Papa Cap into the Classic?
I would use Hot Rod Charlie and Essential Quality. I think it's going to be a 3-year-old Breeders' Cup Classic, and I think both are going to get the right kind of trips.
Yeah, I'm not far off that. And then with Modern Games, I'm also using Glonthin and Portfolio Company. And a little McKinnon, too. McKinnon, and it's funny, Lenny likes McKinnon. I'm using McKinnon as a B in that Juvie turf. But who are we hooking up with in the turf?
Yeah, everybody's dismissive of Southern California turf racing, and you know, generally with reason, but McKinnon might be better than what we've seen generally out of that division. The turf to me looks simpler. That looks like Domestic Spending or Tarnawa.
Yeah. I tell you, I ended up slipping Rock Emperor in there, just because I thought, you know what, he's going to be sucking along.
It's not the craziest idea, right? He's going to be a good price, and I don't have a big argument against it. He's always hinted at it. Maybe they've got it figured out, but yeah, I think.
We did lose Nick there at the end. I think so. I think we lost. I think we lost Nick. But McKinnon wormed his way onto my grid today. One horse that hasn't been mentioned much. I mentioned him leading into Breeders' Cup, Slipstream, and especially if run Curtis Run out of that Futurity, Slipstream beat him. I'd be aware of Slipstream on the stretch out into that juvenile turf, and we stretch out from one Nick from Nick Tamro to Nick Luck, and we certainly can't wrap up our Breeders' Cup coverage without visiting with Nick. Nick, I'm sorry not to be there.
Oh, Steve, it's not the same without you. It really isn't. The beginning of the week, I got down here on Sunday and Monday morning. I thought, well, it's great to be at Del Mar. It's just a couple of ingredients missing, and I was trying to work out what it was, why I had a slightly emptier feeling than normal. And one of those reasons was certainly no Steve Bick at the races. So I'm happy that you're okay. I want you to be back on the racetrack as soon as possible, and I wanted to wish you every congratulations for a richly deserved success last night at the Turf Writers.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Very kind, and a disappointment, obviously, to not be able to enjoy. We look forward to these events. You have got. The greatest smorgasbord of events probably on anybody's docket. Ours are a little more narrow, so it when you miss one like this, it leaves you kind of saddened, but happy to be feeling good and happy to be able to talk to everybody. I mean, we're still going to be as productive as usual in terms of helping people find some winners. And Nick, part of the theme of the coverage has been, thank goodness for the international contingent this year, because the dirt races came up rather meager, other than the Classic and the Distaff. The grass races are outstanding from start to finish.
Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting contrast, isn't it? So the Classic and the Distaff super races, the other main track races, yes, they're short in terms of quantity, and to all intents and purposes, they should be coronations for the Gamines and Life is Good to this world. But on the flip side of that, there probably are a few more real outstanding stars in those races than there necessarily are in the in the turf races. The turf races are characterized by real depth and lots and lots and lots of runners and lots of genuine graded horses and a very, very deep group of juveniles coming over, particularly from Europe. But, you know, I'm just having a look at Tarnawa now. She's just coming past me at the breakfast bar here at Del Mar. I mean, she is, you know, a bona fide star. She's a previous winner, and we've got three returning heroes. But, you know, I think it's more about depth of and quantity than necessarily sort of superstar performers, if you like. And I'm not trying to decry the event at all.
Well, there's also, you know, the game within the game, the story within the story of the international set. There's a lot of fresh faces and seeming emergent outfits that have targeted this event, Nick. I mean, talk a little bit about the group. I mean, we certainly, you know, the O'Brien and Weld and so forth, and you know we're Appleby obviously, but there's some new faces,
there are some new faces, and I think there's no doubt that Breeders' Cup have actively pursued a broader group of trainers. You know, whereas once we could realistically only expect the Stouts and the Gosdens and the O'Brien, now I think that the younger trainers are more enthused by coming over here, and certainly the younger, powerful ownership groups, you know, the Qatar Racing, the Sheikh Farhad got a string here in California, Ammo Racing, Kia Jurabchin's got a little string beginning to develop in the United States as well. So I think you're seeing these slightly younger, wealthy ownership groups who are interested in pursuing the sport transatlantically. I think that's probably driving a fair bit of it. Of course, they want to have their horses with younger trainers, and that is then reflected in the variety of the entry that you've got. I mean, Hugo Palmer's not young. He's probably a little bit younger than me, probably just north of 40. But, you know, he's already had classic winners. He's got four horses running here, three in the Breeders' Cup and one on the undercard. That's a big chunk of your stable if you're a sort of medium to large Newmarket stable rather than one of the big powerhouses. George Bowie done very well with his two-year-olds this year. He's represented. Dave Lochnan has got two runners. Michael Bell's here this year. I mean, he's been training for years, but he's not a regular at the Breeders' Cup by any stretch of the imagination. But it's good to see a good broad spread. Paddy Toomey, I think his filly's got a pretty decent chance in the mile. Hasn't been talked about much. Lots of new faces, which is good to see.
I brought Paddy Toomey up with Kev Humphreys earlier, in fact, and we talked about Pergalore. Let's do a quick run through, Nick, the Friday card. We've got the sprint, and of course, watching for an international horse to break through in the juveniles. Give us a thought about tomorrow's action.
Looking to the juvenile turf sprint, I think this is the strongest group of horses Europe's fielded in this. There are plenty of genuine contenders. Obviously, I think Abley Jane, like everybody else, is going to be a very tough nut to crack on what I saw at Keeneland. Loved her cruising speed in the finishing berth. Don't think she'll have a problem on the 5-furlong turf track here at Del Mar. If I was to pick one European that I thought would sort of be bound to run well, it's Twilight Jet. He's run 10 times. He's as hard as nails. He's got plenty of gate speed. And I don't have too many concerns about Lee Roach's ability to marshal him round here effectively. He'll be fine round the bend. I think he's the European that is likeliest to run well in this race.
More so than Armour?
Well, I know you shouldn't be hidebound by trends like this, but Richard Hammond's Breeders' Cup record is not very good.
No.
And I don't know whether this horse is... the horse has got good form, but is he peaking at the right time? That would be my worry. You know, I want a horse who is coming to the boil at the right time. It sounds counterintuitive to say it about a horse who's had, you know, 10 runs, but they might have only just got the hang of him, the way his numbers are moving.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about the girls and the boys. And of course, it's a very strange phenomena. The juvenile fillies turf has been dominated by North America, and the boys race has been dominated by international players. And it kind of feels like that's going to play out again.
Maybe. I think there's a couple of important Europeans in here that need a nod. One of them is certainly Mise en Scène, who I think would have finished a good second in the Phillies Mile at Newmarket if the rider had known her a little bit better, and it was a last-minute jockey appointment, and she got too far back on a day when that Roly Mile was really favouring speed as it can do. So I still think she's a player, even though she's got a wide gate. She's a very talented filly, Mise en Scène, and so she'd be near the top of my shortlist for this race. Lots of other worthy horses. Hello You is one. I just wonder if she's runs a little bit too keenly to quite get home strongly as you might want over a mile. The horse that finished second to her, the filly finished second to her in the Rockford Cash. She's a nice tough filly, quite straightforward. See her running perfectly well, but of the Euros in this race, I think Mise en Scène is the one that I'm most interested in. And the French filly, I was saying a few moments ago to somebody that I thought the French filly of Francis Graffard was worth the entry, putting in your exotics. Certainly one for underneath, I think, Malavas. I'd stick her in there somewhere. I think she'll run well.
Gets Ryan Moore. And then on the boys' race, here's Appleby with Modern Games and Abahar. I've taken a shine to Glanthan for O'Brien. And Dubawi Legend would have been even a shorter price than 4-1 had he drawn a little bit better for Hugo Palmer.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, if Dubawi Legend wasn't in 14, you'd be interested. I mean, the trainer's confident. The trainer's confident that he can run big. He's got the best single piece of form on offer in the race. I thought Modern Games was a vintage play, really. That's a decent effort at Newmarket last time. Something approximating that, he shouldn't be too far away. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Albar run well, but I think he just lacks a little bit of the quality of Modern Games. Boring one, quite unoriginal. I think he'll probably start amongst the favourites, but Modern Games for me is one of the likelier European winners on the whole meet.
You're not alone in that thought, Nick Tamaro.
Yeah, it's a pretty boring shout. That I grant you.
and a quick aside, Nick, if Appleby, and let's say Essential Quality. If the Appleby runners and the other Godolphins, if they succeed here over the weekend, has there ever been an international year like Godolphin has had? It would have to rank as an all-time great season worldwide, would it not?
You're right up there, I'd say, yeah. Right up there. And yeah, it's in North America, it's a twin pronged success story, isn't it? Because it's the policy of targeting some of those lavishly endowed New York turf races with European trained horses. You know, we saw the Summer Romances and the Alfecas winning during the summer, and Charlie Appleby coming over with Yippee and the three horses in Canada, and it was just success story after success story. Very, very astutely placed in winnable spots. And the other prong, of course, is that policy of there's a slightly more considered and holistic policy of where to put the horses in training, where to put the yearlings in training in the US sort of 3 or 4 years ago. And when that shifted, you suddenly saw results coming that were much more productive. And you've had that glut of top-class dirt horses, Essential Quality and Maxfield and the Michael Stidham's horse who won the Dubai World Cup and whatnot. So, they've clearly got their acts together in terms of international campaigning at the moment.
Nick, here's what we're going to do on the Saturday card. We're going to let you lay out the all-turf pick four. Who are we using in the turf sprint?
Right, turf sprint, I want Emirati Anna right up there.
Yep.
Out of gate two. He's just going to run well. He's loads of speed. I don't think five's a problem for him. And he won the ground as quick as possible. So I certainly think he's in the mix. I think all the Euros have got a bit of a chance here. I'm not just flying the flag wantonly. I definitely want to use Emirati Anna, that's for sure. And I think Glass Slipper will run well again. I'm just not sure she'll have enough real estate to get up this time. So I'd say she'll finish fast, and she might not finish fast enough, or she might just run out of ground. But her stablemate, Emirati Anna, is the one that I'm most interested in.
Yes. How about in the Filly and Mare turf?
I don't have as dogmatic a view on this race as some. I think the Japanese Filly Loves Only You is interesting, mainly on the basis of her Shima Classic form. I think that's got to put her right in the mix if she runs to that. But I don't really know enough about her to know whether she can be relied upon to run to that. Love, I think, is there one last hurrah in her? You know, if I were confident that Love would run her race, she just about wins it. She just about wins it. I think if I'm playing that pick four, whatever else I put in, and I might get the scattergun out for this leg, I certainly couldn't leave Love out. Hmm. That's for sure.
Fair enough. How about the mile?
Tricky. But I'm minded to take a slightly less positive view of European horses as a whole in this race. Just think the mile here is tough, really tough. And however limited you think these West Coast milers are, I do think that home court advantage is quite important here. I've talked about it before, how I think of all the demands you place on horses at a Breeders' Cup, I think the Breeders' Cup mile is the one that is potentially most alien to a lot of the European horses, because the way they've been kind of conditioned to running on these straight miles and, you know, big galloping tracks. And yes, you get winners and you occasionally get exceptional winners, but none of these horses have a completely convincing profile. Space Blues is not a miler yet, and you can go on about that he's seen out a stiff seven and heavy ground and that, but he still has to run a mile. Somebody said to me, it's a bit like the old, what's heavier, a pound of sugar or a pound of feathers? Well, you know, and it's still a mile. It may be an American mile, it may be a Del Mar, it may be around two turns, but it's still a mile. So, at short odds, I could steam into him. Master of the Seas is a very talented horse. I think Master of the Seas might be a more talented horse, naturally, than Space Blues, but he's not straightforward. And I don't really want not straightforward for this race. Thanks. You know, I'll watch him win, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but I don't really like him as a bet if he's not cooperative. But I don't think he's looked very cooperative the last couple of times he's run. Mother Earth has had a long year. Now, she's unlucky not to have won a couple more grade ones, I admit, or group ones, but she's had a long, old year. And you're asking a lot for her to come and produce a career best. To win here. Pearl of Galore's had a less busy time of it. Her form ties in very closely with Mother Earth and with Space Blues. Gets the gender allowance. Stable's had a ridiculously good strike rate this year. I'd be minded to get her in the
Me
mix
too.
For the pick four of,
Me
the,
too.
Of the Europeans. I think I think the way I'd play this, I'd have her and I'd have a couple of the locals. I'd have a couple of, I might leave Mo Forza out and stick in the two that finish behind in the race.